Well, good afternoon, everybody, and a very happy new year and a warm welcome to you all. It's great to see so many here, friends from Kyle, Free Church and further afield. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate many of you must be tired and maybe a little bit groggy. So thank you so much for coming out today to join us as we worship God to bring in this new year. I hope it's a good one and that God blesses all of you throughout it. Just a couple of things to say before we begin. They were handing out bookmarks at the start. There's a few left, so if you didn't get one, they're just at the side of the door as you leave, so please do take one and use that as you wish. And it's great to have the little ones in church. They are welcome to stay throughout the whole service, but if you do feel you need to step out for a minute, there is the wee creche room up at the side. But don't feel you have to. We like the noise. Don't feel like you're interrupting. It's wonderful to have you all here. For those who don't know me, my name is James. So I am the recently appointed minister here in Glenelg and Inverdenham Free Church, and it is a pleasure to be with you all today. So there is a slight change to the scheduled programming. In the section where it reads children's address, we will be instead reading together the Apostles' Creed, which you should have on a separate piece of paper. So other than that, everything is unchanged. So let's worship God together, friends, and bring in the new year by celebrating together. Our call to worship today is from Psalm 40, and the words on the front of your order of service if you'd like to read along. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So let's worship our almighty and wonderful God by singing together to his praise, Psalm 84. So if you've got your blue psalm books, you'll find it on page number 112. It's the Sing Psalms version of Psalm 84, page 112. And we'll be singing verses 1 to 9, so the first four stanzas together. How delightful are your dwellings, O Almighty Lord, to me. For your courts my soul is yearning, in your house I long to be. We'll stand and sing together.
Blessed is home is your rest.
That's great. So let's come now, friends, together in prayer before our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Father in heaven, we give you thanks and honor and praise for this new year which you have given to us. And we do pray, O Lord, that you would be with all of us here today, that you would surround us and bless us and give us your peace and your comfort and your grace and your mercy in the days ahead. We thank you, O God, that you listen to our prayers, that you hear our cries for mercy and our cries for help, that you listen to us when we speak to you, that you give us hope when we are in despair, that you show us your light when we are in darkness, that you guide us when we are lost. And we pray, Father, that you would give all of these guidance and help to us this new year as we gather together today. Help us, we pray, O Lord. And Father, we do give you thanks for the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing, O Lord, that he came into this world in order to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we have just finished celebrating Christmas, remembering his birth, remembering the wonders of the incarnation, remembering the joy that Christ's birth has brought to the world. And help us to remember that all through the year, to remember the joy of Christ, to remember the love of Christ, to remember the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for the world. And help us, Lord, to trust in him today, to lean on him, to follow him, to share in his love today. For that is our message today, Lord, that we are called to be a loving people, a people of love. So help us, Lord, to do this, we pray, to follow in Christ's steps, to carry our own crosses, to go where he sends, and to love all we meet along the way. But do help us, Lord, to trust in him today, to trust in his gospel, to trust in the forgiveness of sins that he offers through his own blood shed for us. And not to trust in ourselves and our own good deeds or works, for they are not enough and never will be. But it is Christ and Christ alone through whom we can be saved, through whom we can be redeemed, whom gives us the privilege of becoming your children, your sons and your daughters, your loving children. And we thank you so much that we can call upon you and call you Father as Christ did. So bless us all here today and those who wish to be here but could not. Give them your peace and your comfort today and restore them if they are unwell. And remember our nation at this time, Lord, as we enter the new year. May it be a year of peace, a year of prosperity, a year of comfort, a year of revival. May there be, O Lord, a spark which ignites in our land for the gospel of Christ. May your gospel be preached well and faithfully throughout the land. May people hear it and be convicted of sin and turn to Christ. And may there be faith such has not been seen before in this land this year, we pray. For you can do all these wonderful things and more as you have done in the past. So bless our gathering here and bless this New Year's Day and all the days ahead. Be with us, we pray, in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining us. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to stand here and share the good news with you. And we will sing once more again to the praise of our Lord. We'll be singing this time from Psalm 20, the traditional version of Psalm 20, which you'll find on page 224 of your psalm books. and we'll be singing verses 1 to 9, the whole psalm through Psalm 20. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send, and let the name of Jacob's God thee from all ill defend. Let's stand again and sing together. Together from the Bible, from the Word of God. Today we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, which you'll find in the Church Bibles on page 1227. So 1227 in the Church Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 7 through to 21, the end of chapter 4. as we enter the new year, I want us to remember these words and to work on following their its sound advice. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. May he give us all the ears to hear it today. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen. And may God indeed richly bless to all of you today his precious word. I did think today, on all days, as we gather together from different congregations and different homes and communities, to remember the unity that we share in Christ, the unity that we share as the church. So I thought it would be helpful for us all to read together the Apostles' Creed, one of the earliest Christian confessions of faith that was written, which you should have received as you came in the door. It's just a confession of what we believe and of what God has done for us. So we'll read this through together, thanking God as we do so for his goodness. So it begins: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's a wonderful confession of our faith and what Christians have believed since the beginning. We'll sing once more and then we'll look together at 1 John chapter 4. Our psalm this time is taken from Psalm 56 from the Sing Psalms version. You'll find it on page 73 of our books, Psalm 56, and we'll be singing the last half of the psalm. So beginning at verse 9 at the bottom of the page. It's a wonderful psalm that reminds us that God will help us when we call to him, that he will keep us, that he will keep us from stumbling. And so we thank him and praise him for that. And we pray that this new year he would keep us and help us. When I call on you to help me, then my foes will turn aside. This is how I will be certain that God is on my side. We'll stand and sing again together. The end then of 2024, and we are now freshly into the new year, the year 2025. I don't know if any of you celebrated last night, if you went to parties or you had people over or any of these kind of things. I didn't. We just stayed at home and had a quiet night in, but that's because we have three little children who don't let us sleep very much, so that's generally how we like to spend New Year's. Maybe when they're a bit bigger, we'll be able to do more. But maybe you have already decided what your New Year's resolution is going to be, if you even bother to do them. Generally, I don't, because I never succeed in them, so I don't really see the point of just bothering myself by trying to do something to set goals that I know I'm never going to achieve. Maybe just have one thing that you maybe want to do this year, maybe just set the bar a bit lower and you won't be so disappointed in yourselves. But some people are not like me. Some people are really great at keeping their New Year's resolutions. And you often hear stories of people who set themselves goals. Like, I want to run the London Marathon. You know, I've never run a day in my life, but this year I want to go and do it. I want to challenge myself to go and do something along those lines. And they do, they commit, they spend a lot of time changing their habits and training, getting ready to run this really long race. And you can't help sometimes be envious of these kinds of people who have that determination, who have that discipline to be able to commit to something and follow through with it. It's a rare thing, I think, in our culture, especially today, when we change our minds so many times, when being dedicated to a goal is not always what people want to do. And there are some people who find it easy to do this, and some people who find it really hard to change themselves. They maybe try for a day or two, try and change their habits, but all too quickly we fall back into the way we used to be. We read 1 John chapter 4 today. And John reminds us right at the beginning of what he and what God would like us to do. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And we as Christians, those who follow Christ, are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And part of that is loving each other. And this is hard, because you know what people are like, because we're people. We know what we're like. We know what others are like. Sometimes it is really hard to love other people. It is really hard, especially if we don't like them. And yet we trust in Christ to work within us, helping us to do this, and working and pressuring ourselves to be more Christ-like, to know him better, to love like him. So if you were to set yourselves a New Year's resolution today, let it be this, that we love one another. And we work hard at loving one another. And we ask Christ to help us to love one another. There's a few things I want to look at from this passage today as we consider what it means to love one another. Firstly, I want to look at John, who wrote this letter, who himself was an apostle of love. And then I want to look at God, who is a God of love. And then thirdly, I want to look at us, who are called to be a people of God. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're looking at today on this New Year's Day, on what it means to love others. Firstly, then, let's look at John, who was an apostle of love. I just want to read those opening verses again from 1 John 4 that we read a short while ago. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The Apostle John, who penned this letter, is well known to us from the stories in the Gospels. He was close to Jesus during his time on earth. And one of the Gospels was, of course, written by his own hand. He was one of what we know as the inner circle of the apostles, the three, Peter, James, and John. John is a familiar figure in many scenes of the Gospels, and he's often seen with Jesus and with the other disciples. When John is writing about himself, he doesn't like to use his own name. He doesn't like to draw attention to himself rather than attention to Jesus. And so he often describes himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. He does this because he wants to describe the close relationship he had with Jesus. He was one of his closest friends, one of his closest followers, one whom Jesus would trust the care of his mother when he was dying on the cross. And John had a very specific style of writing. He would write in many ways, absolutes, things that were black and white. There were very little gray areas, very little ambiguity in what John was writing. He was a very exclusive writer. And although he lived 2,000 years ago, he really is a man who we need to listen to, who we need to pay attention to. Because if we think about what the church has become today, overall, in our nation, we can, I think, clearly see that there is a crisis happening. Christian thinking has become looser than ever. Great swaths of the church no longer teach what the Bible teaches. They talk about tolerance and inclusivity, which is good things. However, there's an uncertainty behind them. There's no doctrinal clarity. They don't believe really what they're teaching, or it's not clear, or it's vague, or it's just a bit wishy-washy. There's no conviction. There's no power in what the church is saying. It's compromised itself and lost its way, maybe with good intentions. You know, we want to be more inclusive. We want to be more open. We want to invite everybody to come. But we still can't compromise on what we believe, on what the Bible teaches, on what God wants us to teach. Now more than ever, we need John. We need his writings, his black and white writings, his dogmatic writings, his exclusive, absolute writings, his authority as John the Apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he gave us these words. We need to hear today from the disciple whom Jesus loved. The whole world, the whole church needs to hear and believe his words, especially this word today. John's heart was filled with the love of God, and his writings, his teachings, were wanting to show this love to others. That's why he was so exclusive and so dogmatic, so black and white, because you need to know this. It is important you know this. It is essential that you believe this. His heart was filled with the love of God, and this love gave him a desire for the truth of God's love to be made known. His love for God and God's people just shines through his writing, shines through his gospel, shines through his letters. In the Gospel of John, you see an unwavering regard for the truth. Again, with John, everything is absolute. There is truth and there are falsehoods. There is salvation and there is damnation. There is light, there is darkness. There are those who accept Christ and those who reject him. We might think in our world today, in our culture, that John's writings may seem harsh, that they may be too exclusive. But it's because that John is filled with the love of God that he insists on giving the truth to his readers, even in a blunt style that we maybe are not too comfortable with hearing today. And it begins with those opening words of this section of his letter. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, but whoever does not love does not know God, because he is love. Let us love one another. Not because we like each other. That's the first thing to mention. It's really easy to love people we like. But that's not why we're to love them. We're to love them because God loved us. Because love comes from God. And we can show this love to them by telling the truth. John is so filled with the love of God that he cannot keep the truth back. He cannot keep it hidden. He cannot withhold it. It may hurt for people to hear this. And yet he knows he has to say it. He knows he has to tell it, because that is the loving thing to do. This is what Spurgeon had to say on this passage in the short commentary that he wrote. He said, "From the abundance of love which was in John's heart, we might almost be startled at the very strong things that he writes against those who are in error. He is the most loving man who has honesty enough to tell the truth and speak out boldly against falsehood. It is very easy to pass through this world believing and saying that everybody is right. That is one way to make a soft path for your own feet and to show that you only have love for yourself. But sometimes to speak as John the Baptist spoke or as Martin Luther spoke, the way Jesus spoke, is the way to prove that you have true love for others." That is what we as the church are called to do, to speak the truth in love to the world, to all peoples. And this is the hard truth that John is telling us here in this passage. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John is really giving us a test. He's asking us to examine ourselves, to look at our lives, look at how we live, look at how we deal with people. See if there is love in us, if we love each other. Remember, John is really talking to the church. He's asking the church, do you love each other? Do you love one another? And then that love ultimately spreads out of the church to others. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? They may come from different denominations. They may have slightly different beliefs than we do. They might even be Baptists. But do we love them? Do we love them? Nothing against Baptists, by the way. Some of my close friends are Baptists. But, you know, we're always making fun of each other in a good way. Because that's what we do when we love each other. We understand we disagree, and yet we still remember that we are together in Christ. So after looking in our hearts and examining ourselves, do we have the love that John is talking about? Do we love each other? Or are we lacking? Are we just here for ourselves? Do we not care about the people sitting behind us or in front of us or on the back row? Are we lacking in our love? If we do not love each other, then that shows that in our core, in our hearts, we have not been changed by the love of God. We have not really been affected by the gospel message. You do not know God if you do not love each other. John says, if you have love in your hearts, then you know God. But if you don't, then you do not know him. Again, these are strong words to hear. We do not like this kind of exclusivity in the modern world. And yet these are the words that so many people need to hear. They are harsh, but they are filled with love. You know, we don't tell people harsh things because we don't like them and want to upset them, want to drive them away. We tell them things because we want them to come to a true knowledge and a true understanding and a true faith and have that love for themselves. You know, it's said you'll know when a person really loves you, when they tell you the truth to your face, when you need to hear it. Sometimes it may hurt to hear the truth. Sometimes we may be on a path that we know we shouldn't be. And somebody challenges us. And we know that they love us. Because they're challenging us. Because they're not letting us walk on this path to destruction. They want us to come back. They want us to come back to safety. They want us to be freed from whatever it is that we're doing. Because they love us. It saddens me to think how many people have walked blindly towards the gates of hell because somebody has told them that they are saved, when the reality is that they're not. How much love has been shown to these people when they have not been told the truth, when they have been lied to, when they have been deceived? None at all. John Stott writes that for the loveless Christian to profess to know God and to have been born again is like claiming to be intimate with a foreigner whose language we cannot speak, or to have been born of parents we in no way resemble. It is to fail to manifest the nature of him who we claim as our father and friend. Love is as much a sign of Christian authenticity as righteousness. And he's right, isn't it? You can tell when you meet somebody who is a really faithful Christian because they're just filled with love, no matter what circumstances they may be in. You know, I've been to see people in hospital, people near the end of their lives, and they've got beaming smiles on their faces. They're so filled with the love of God that it just cannot help but shine off of them. You know it when you see it. And yet, how many people have drifted away from the church or been pushed away from the church by unloving Christians who have acted in unloving ways? It's a sad, sad thing. But this is where we need to be careful, because we need to find a balance. We need to be wise on how we are with people, because we cannot lose the truth and we cannot lose love. And so we have to have both. We have to have a careful balance between love and the truth. Neither can be compromised. And that is the challenge that we face. And if we do find ourselves lacking in love, if love isn't as present in our hearts as it should be, and we recognize this, then there's no need to despair, because we simply go to the solution that John gives us. If we look at ourselves and we think, oh no, I don't love this person. I know I should, but I don't. What do? You know, you recognize there's a problem, and you also know that there's a solution. John points us back to God, who is a God of love. We read in verse 13. This is how we will know that he lives, that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. John's writings are particularly treasured by the church because they tell us so much about God. He has already told us in this letter, the first chapter, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He also writes in his gospel that God is spirit. John gives us so much insight into the nature and the person and the character of God. And now he's telling us probably one of the things you will hear the most about God, that God is love. God is light. Therefore, when we walk with God, we walk in light. And so therefore, as God is also love, when we walk with God, we walk in love. And also those who walk in both light and love of God are born of God. They are his children. Notice something about what John doesn't say in these words. He doesn't say that God loves you, or that God has love. Both of these may be true, but that's not what he is wanting to convey. He's wanting to get the message ahead that God is love. It is part of his nature to love. His nature is love. He doesn't love us because we are worthy to be loved. Rather, he loves us because it's his nature to love. It's intrinsic to his very being. And his love is a holy love, a just love, a perfect love. This is the great truth of the gospel of Christ, that those who believe are loved by God, who is love itself. And then once we know this, once we experience this for ourselves, we can then go forward to love others as we have been loved. Then we can truly know God. Just think of the Apostle Paul when he was known as Saul, when he was going around persecuting the church with great zeal, when he was going around hunting them out, dragging them out, seeing them stoned to death in the streets. Did he know God? I think he did know about God. He certainly spent a great deal of his life studying the scriptures and learning at the feet of great teachers. He went through all the rituals, all the ceremonies, all the worship of God at the temple. He did know about God. He certainly knew of his power and his authority. But it wasn't until Paul met God through the resurrected Christ that he finally understood the overwhelming love of God and really got to know him, really know him, really follow him. It was became a real and a deep and a personal relationship. Only after he met God was he able to draw near to him, to call him Father, and then to love others as he himself had been loved by God. Can we find out about love by just reading about it or even studying it? Maybe you really like your romantic films. You know, they're quite popular this time of year. Maybe you subscribe to the Hallmark Channel or, you know, these kind of things. But this kind of love that we read about in our culture, romantic love, these kind of things, it's really just a shadow. It's a faint echo of the love of God. It is imperfect. It is fleeting. Human beings are able to love because we are made in the image of God, and yet we have corrupted that image through sin. And so our ability, our capacity to love has also been corrupted. And I know many of us have experienced this hardship. People that we know should love us, and yet don't. Or they do for a time and then appear to fade away, to disappear. But when we believe in Christ and when we experience the love of God ourselves, then we can begin to love like he does. Still not perfect, yet guided by his Spirit who works within us, slowly we'll be shaped into the likeness of Christ and be able to love more and more and more like him as our lives progress. We talk about the love of God, but it's not just an abstract principle or some kind of distant sentiment. Oh, yeah, God is loving. God is so caring and so nice. His love is real. It is active. It is a present love, which we can see in action through the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. God's love was made real or shown to be real and true when he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. Despite our sin, despite our rebellion, despite the brokenness of our world, Jesus was sent to free broken women and broken men and broken children from the brutal slavery of sin. And a crucial part of our salvation is the promise of eternal life. To be by the side of God, to be in his presence forever, to be with the Father. From the first moment of belief, we begin to live through Christ. We begin to walk in God's light. His love becomes a part of us. And through him, we will live forever with him. It's truly amazing, the love of God. If you want to know what love is, look at God. The prime example, the perfect example of love, which John describes in verse 10. It says, "This is not love, that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Even though we did not love him first, which is often how our relationships go. Somebody loves us and then eventually they might win us over. But that's not how it works here. God loved us first, even when we could not love him. Even when we were his enemies, when we hated him, he loved us. Even when we loved sin, when we'd ruined ourselves by following its disruptive influence, God loved us. And in his infinite love, he sent us the only son he had, the only son who was both man and God, so that he might make payment on our behalf, so that he might make reconciliation for us, so that he might bear the judgment for our sin in his place, so that he would satisfy the demands of God's perfect justice and in our place suffer and die, and to fulfill God's perfect love for us. So what does this mean for us going forward? It means we are called to be a people of love. As God's children, we are called, we are commanded to love as we ourselves are loved. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The NIV translates the beginning of this sentence with the phrase, "Dear friends," but if you were to go and look at the original language, it's more direct. The word is beloved. Beloved, as you are loved, you shall love. John was an apostle of love. God is a God of love, and we are called to be a people, a church of love. Again, you know, this may sound a bit corny. This may sound a bit like, oh, it's just one of these things, but it is true. We must be a people of love. And why must we love others? Because we are told we were loved first. And not just by anyone, but by God himself. So how do we show that love to others? We love each other by serving one another, by helping each other, by telling the truth to each other, by preaching the gospel, by sharing the good news, by helping each other in times of need, by praying for one another. These are just a few examples. When the word of God is preached, it has the power to change lives. When the gospel is shared with friends or family, people that we love, it has the power to rescue people. People who are lost. People who are dying. God's word itself has power when it is read to somebody or given to them as a gift. It has the power through the Holy Spirit to change lives, to show them the love of God, to declare to their world, there is hope, there is light, there is life, and there is love, and it is found in our holy God. That is why we are called to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, to share the love of God with the world. Because we love them. And we want them to know God. John gives us a very simple command on the surface. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We must love one another because God loved us first. Just as Christ loved you enough to die in your place on the cross, so we should love one another. In chapter 1, John tells us, you can either walk in darkness or you can walk in light. in the light of God. You cannot do both. You cannot have one foot in the light and one foot in the darkness. You know, it would be akin to having one foot on a rowboat on a really, really fast river and one foot on the shore. It's not going to work. You're just going to crash and fall in the water and drown. You cannot have both. It's not possible. And John tells us here in the same way, you cannot walk in love and hatred together. You either are in love or you're not. The two are very opposite. They cannot be together. You cannot hold on to love and hatred both within your heart at the same time. And John reminds us that this love is being perfected in us, or made complete in us, that it is not perfect yet. We will still make mistakes. We will still not love as much as we should. We would still dislike people and maybe try and stay away from them so we don't have to tell them the good news. But God is working within us. It is being perfected within us. It is being made complete within us over time. That love is being progressively built up in our hearts in order to fill us up or to bring us into such a loving character that it just flows from us like light shining from the sun. You cannot hide from it. And we are told that this work in us will do two things. It would cause us to have no fear because we know that God is with us, because we know that he has love for us. We know that we are free from his judgment. We know that he is our God and we are his children. It will drive out any fear from us, and it will build up confidence in us, confidence in God that he will do what he said he's going to do. He will fulfill his word. He will keep his promises. He will do what he plans to do as we await the final days. We do not need to fear judgment day when it comes if you are a follower of Christ, because there is no judgment, no punishment for God's children, because God has already done that punishment to Christ in our stead. He is our atoning sacrifice. And the reason that we can be filled with such love and filled with such confidence and filled with peace is because of the overwhelming grace of God, his undeserved favor. We love because he first loved us. Our obedience then is to echo his love, not in a fearful way of attempting to please him, but in order to show thankfulness and to be joyful in how and what he has done for us. Remembering how he has embraced us as his children, despite all the wicked things that we have done, he has forgiven us and provided us the sacrifice of his son. I just cannot get over how wonderful the gospel of Christ is. And I do pity those who live without it, because how can you get by in this world, knowing what we know, seeing what we see, without knowing that God is at work, knowing that he is going to fix everything, knowing that he is going to bring justice to those who have suffered injustice. He is going to bring hope to the suffering. He is going to alleviate those who are in pain. How wonderful it is to have such a thing as the love of God in our lives. A source of great joy, a source of great comfort, and of course our salvation. So let us work really hard and pray and ask for help. God, help us love each other. Help me love so-and-so down the road. Help me love this person. Oh God, help me be more loving enough to share Christ with other people. Let us do that this new year, and we will be blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, that you loved us first, even when we did not deserve it, even though we still don't deserve it today. You loved us first and sent your Son to die for us, to be our sacrifice, to be our redemption, to be our Savior. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to love one another and love others as we ourselves have been loved by you. Help us to be free from fear, to boldly proclaim the truth, because it needs to be said. People need to hear it. Help us, Father, we pray. And may we see, through your power, lives transformed, souls won for Christ, people infected with the same love that we have as it spreads through our world. Help us, Father, we pray, this new year to love one another and remember that we are loved by you and be comforted and restored by that knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's only appropriate that we sing for our final item of praise a song about the love of God. Here is love vast as the oceans. On the back of your order of services, if you'd like to follow with us. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. We'll stand and sing together.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can see tide, grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and hence peace and perfect justice fixed a guilty world in love.
Friends, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, be with you and with all God's people, now and forevermore. Amen. Please don't rush off. If you can stay, there's refreshments and lots of nice, tasty treats. Please do stay and if you can. And a happy new year, and God bless you all. Thank you so much.